Bob Surratt and Marianne Merciano with you today. You know, one of our favorite topics here is new tech and iPhones and how to keep them, how to get them back, how to work them. And with us this afternoon from the Illinois Institute of Technology, a research professor, wireless expert, and someone who spent more than 30 years in private industry and is now at IIT, Dennis Roberson. Dennis, welcome. Good to have you here today.
Thanks for coming in, Dennis.
Great to be with you.
We know that you have some work that you're doing regarding smartphone thefts, and we've talked about this here. And tell me if I'm wrong about this. The technology is there to help us when we lose our phone,
when it's stolen.
But the manufacturers would rather have us just buy a new one all the time. do they intentionally kind of drag their heels on that end of things?
Well, 2 points. The technology is not entirely there to do this, and we can talk more about that. But your second point, the motivation, is one of the huge challenges, not just for the cell phone companies, but the whole infrastructure has difficulty dealing with this.
And by that, you mean having some sort of a kill switch or something so that you can deactivate the phone once it's stolen? Is that what you're talking about?
On that first point, yes. There is a kill switch that is available from both Apple and Samsung and most of the providers now at the device level, and that is activated through the service providers, Verizon, AT&T, and those folks. So you can do that as long as the phone is connected to the network.
So now the police have wanted this for a long time, haven't they?
What do you mean as long as they're connected to the network?
Well,
as long as they're on Wi-Fi, or as long as they're
unlocked? as long as they're connected to the cellular network.
So if they unlock it immediately so that it's not connected to any network, then you can't.
It's gone.
It's gone.
What does that mean, Marianne?
Well, you know, if you have an AT&T phone, you can only use it through AT&T.
Right.
But, like, our son right now is in Europe, mm-hmm. and he's got a phone, and he says, I'm unlocking it legally so that I can put a new SIM card in, because if not, it's so expensive to make calls. Is that what you're talking about?
No, not exactly, though that's a very relevant point to this. No, what I'm talking about is if you go into airplane mode, if you go to hard stop, if you want to do it physically, if you pull the battery, you're no longer connected to anything. And when that's the case, there's no way to get a message to the phone to tell the phone to do anything. So the kill switch is a really good idea. Kill switch, for the people in your audience, the whole idea of this is that it will deactivate the phone. The phone's no longer able to make a call. There's another term, while we're at it, I'll throw the other hot term out there, which is bricking the phone. And that not only does the kill switch, but it also enables, a third term, wiping the phone so that all of the data is not available on the phone anymore.
So what does it matter if the data is available if they can't activate it? Why is that important? Why is bricking it important?
Oh, it's very important, because the most important and most valuable aspect of phone theft is identity theft. Most people with a smartphone put their identity on their device.
Right.
Yeah, everything's in there.
Once it's stolen, you have the person's identity, and you are able to use it very, very effectively. In fact, I'll carry this on for one moment. There's a now famous case in Minneapolis, the Mustafa Gang, who had a 30-person organization. They were in the business of stealing phones. They had the perfect cover. They had 6 secondhand phone stores around the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, so it wasn't so unusual that they were dealing with many phones. But they would steal one phone, get the identity off that phone, use the identity to go to phone stores and buy 30 more phones, brand new, out of the box, then ship those phones. They were of Middle East descent. They would send them into the Middle East to places where the brand new phones weren't available. Phone might cost $300 here, $500 even. There, you could sell it for $2,000.
Wow.
And their cost was the shipping of the device from here to there, because they had used identity theft as the means of purchasing it.
Now, we stopped them, didn't we?
We did stop them. They have been captured. But it certainly gives a profile of what could be and may well be in many other cities, and they just haven't been caught yet.
So when we're talking about kill switches and remote wipe technology, all of this, where does the FCC get involved and talk about what you're doing?
Yeah, and I'll go back to the motivation point. It's a huge challenge from a motivation standpoint. Now, to be sure, we as individuals are quite motivated to have our phones protected. But it's very difficult because financially, even though motivationally we want to do the right thing, financially the cell phone providers are not motivated because they get to sell more phones if they're stolen. The service providers are not motivated because they are involved in selling the phones as well. Even for the police, it's a very difficult proposition. I'm going to go chase a single phone. I've got five other calls, one of which is a home invasion, one is a bank robbery, one's a car theft.
Exactly.
And now I'm going to send officer squad car out to go chase down a single phone. So the motivations are really difficult on this one. And because of that, this is becoming an epidemic. 2 years ago, 1.6 million phones were stolen, best we know. Last year, it was 3.1 million. This year, it looks like it'll be on the same trajectory up again. It's become the dominant commodity that's stolen in certain areas, like transportation. In most of the L, the metro, the primary item that is stolen is a smart device.
Okay, and is it mostly because they're stealing, it's identity theft as well, or is it not mostly that?
That's what we're trying to sort out as part of the process. But there are at least four different business models. And that's what makes this so difficult. Because
business models to...
For the criminal.
Is there a plan in place now? Is there something that can be done industry-wide or by
Certainly
the government?
The industry is attacking this, and you've hit the first part of it, the companies are providing the kill switch capability so that you can do it, the tracking capability so that you can track it down as long as it stays on the network. And this is where I'll introduce the notion of opportunistic criminals versus organized crime. For opportunistic criminals, which still appear to be the preponderance of the thefts, they're not informed on what they need to do to get off the network, and therefore you can do all of these things that are being put in place. And in fact, another one is a database, so that if you try to use the phone after it's reported as stolen, not only will you be denied access to the network, but the police will be dispatched to go pick you up.
Right. Let's talk about
if they want to go after one cell phone.
Let's talk about what we can do about all of this and more on smartphones and security with IIT's Dennis Roberson right after this. We're talking about smartphone security with Illinois Institute of Technology research professor Dennis Roberson, who also chairs the FCC's Technological Advisory Council. What is the commission doing in terms of helping smartphone security?
Yeah, the commission's very concerned about this, as they should be. The law enforcement community have, in fact, come to the FCC, and specifically the chairman of the FCC, and requested that he take significant action in this area. He, in turn, handed this off to the Technological Advisory Council that I chair. And we, in time-honored fashion in Washington, we had a workshop and brought in all of the relevant people, including law enforcement, including the members of the industry, but also including groups like Assurian that provide insurance for your phone, and people that are the secondhand sellers, and all the rest. And put forth in that session everything that everyone knew. We followed that up with a working group that includes 32 separate companies or representatives of those companies that are now trying to chase down the problem, first understand the nature of the problem, understand the current solutions, which we were talking about, that the various providers have now brought out, look at the gaps, and try to come up with other solutions. In addition to that, they're focused on cybersecurity, which is a really hot topic, and customer education or consumer education in general, because in the end, it is your own device, and what you do to protect it is probably the best first line of defense.
All right, so two things that I want to ask you about. One is, if your phone gets stolen, is the best thing to do to immediately call your provider and have the kill switch, you know,
activated?
Absolutely. It both activates the kill switch, but it also puts it on their database. So they will then know if someone else tries to use the device. And in fact, through their network, they will network with first the people that are affiliated with them from a roaming agreement standpoint, and then out to the whole industry.
But so it's with the provider, not like if it's an Apple phone, you don't go to Apple. You go to, if you have AT&T service, you go to AT&T.
And I'm so glad you've asked this question, because it is a lot of confusion. People call every which direction, but service provider is where a consumer losing a phone should call.
And then, you know, you have that app called Find Your Phone.
Yes.
And then you have, a way to see your phone if you register it on your device. But I think it has to be in Wi-Fi or something, right?
No, it doesn't have to be in Wi-Fi. It does allow you to track your phone, and it varies by which kind of phone that you have. But that capability certainly exists, probably best known for the Apple product line.
Right. Okay. And then what about all this business that is in the news right now? And I think it's unrelated to this specifically, but about the FBI being upset about the fact that Apple and Google are saying that they will not unlock phones now for search warrants and
right.
All that.
No, it's not unrelated. It's actually very much related, because the most valuable element of the phone is the data that it contains, because of the identity theft opportunity. So if you lock the phones from an encryption standpoint, can't get at that data, then you have protected the most valuable aspect of the phone. So it's definitely not unrelated. But it is a huge problem. And it's who gets the access to the data. If there is what's called a backdoor that is available through the Apple, for instance, or Samsung, or through Google. But if there's a backdoor that exists for the police, that backdoor is also available to the criminal elements over time.
It's fascinating. I hope you'll stay close and keep us posted on developments with the FCC and other areas. And quickly, how soon might we see some big changes in this department?
The specific work that I am doing is meant to report out on the 4th of December. So that'll be a report out. That won't be when the actions take place, but that'll certainly be a key critical elements for the aspect of this that I'm working on.
IIT's Dennis Roberson, appreciate the update on everything. And by the way, one of our people stole your phone while you were sitting here.
Not possible.
Why, you don't have one on you?
I have two, and they're both in my pocket, my front pockets.
Come back and see us December 4th so we can talk about that, would you?
Maybe the 5th, because I'll be in Washington on the 4th.
You'll be presenting it on the 4th?
It'll be presented in the forum that I chair, right?
Okay, great.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
Great.